Glad that the Lord makes it possible for you to be, for you to mount up on eagle's wings, and He gives you the ability to fly, gives you wings, rise above your circumstances, and spiritually speaking, the Lord allows us to do that in Christ Jesus. Titus chapter 1, if you go there with me this evening, let's spend a little bit of time in Titus chapter 1 tonight. We've done some in the adult Bible class in Sunday school. And even did a little bit at college a little bit. And so I want to look at a couple verses starting in Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through 16. And look at a little bit of teaching time in the scripture tonight. I like to have teaching time on Wednesdays. We normally get to do that if we don't have something else special planned. But get a little more time to go through some of the verses. And with our kids meeting over there and with the kids club and all that kind of stuff, it gives us a little bit of time to consider the scripture. And I don't know what your particular situation is, but I know that when it comes to every day of the week, much less Wednesday, the middle of the week, you need some scripture to help you stay going, to keep you fed, and to keep you instructed in this walk of faith that God has given us. It's good to see Jim and Sue Rose here tonight, and I meant to say hi to y'all on Sunday. Miss Sue has a twin sister that's been coming and attending here, and I met her not all that long ago, and I thought that was a neat thing. It's always a neat thing when you meet a twin, right? And so I thought that was neat, but it's good to see them here tonight also, and many others of you. Titus chapter 1, let's look at verse number 9. We'll read all the way down to verse 16, which is not that far, and let's take time to consider the word tonight. The Bible says, verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught. Oh, I just can't jump in like that. I'm sorry. I just can't do that. It just didn't feel right. You know, I know what it says in the previous 8 verses, but I think we need to be reminded of it. You remember, this is Paul writing to Titus, and he's telling him in verse 5 that he left him in Crete, that he should set in order the things that are needed or wanted, that are wanting in the churches there on the island of Crete. And so he says, go to every city and ordain elders in every city. And he starts to tell you, this is who you look for when you go into the elder ordaining business, okay? I shouldn't have called it that, but the elder ordaining ministry, okay? When you're looking for elders and bishops, same thing, as you go to every city in Crete that we've already went to and people have gotten saved and churches have been established, this is what you're looking for. He says it in verse 6, okay? If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And then he expands on that a little bit. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. We talked about that Sunday. Not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. I want to go through those things again, but we need to go forward tonight, so I'm just going to leave them like they are, and it's been covered. Verse 8, but here's the things you should do and should look for. These are things that these men that you're looking to ordain as elders, this is qualities that they are participating in. This is attributes, that characteristic traits that they do have. You're looking for that in verse number 8. You're looking for things they don't have in verse 7. You see that, right? Okay? Are we together? All right. Verse 8, but a lover of hospitality. It's hard to work with people if you don't like people, right? It really is. Now, some people like people more than other people, but yet we all have to work with people if we're in the business of the gospel, in the ministry of the gospel. So a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. Surround yourself with the right people. Sober, that doesn't just mean not drunk. That means clear thinking, making good decisions, exercising good judgment. That's why we think of it as the opposite of drunk, because if someone's drunk, they're not making good decisions, and they're not thinking clear, and they're not exercising good judgment. That's why it's illegal to drive on the road if you're drunk, because you won't make good decisions behind those wheels. In fact, those decisions you make behind that wheel of that car might cost somebody their very life. So you're not sober. You need to be sober. That doesn't mean just not intoxicated. That means clear thinking, exercising good judgment. You see that in passage. Just, treating people fairly, okay, not playing favorites and all that stuff. Holy, set apart to do God's work. Temperate, that means exercising temperance, okay? That means moderation. That means not letting self be in control, but letting the Holy Spirit of God be in control in your life. Okay, you see all those things. Now we can read verse 9. We're back to where we started. Verse number 9, starting now. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. I'm going to go back and talk about that verse a little bit in a moment, I believe. Verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now, he's actually describing Crete, but it describes more than Crete. We understand that. That's why it's in the scripture. That's why God gave it to us, because it applies today also in the Crete that's right here in Central Florida, okay? And the Cretes that are all over the world and all throughout our nation today. Here's some more talk of the times, verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Remember how we said that word lucre is not very hard to understand? We understand what a lucrative business deal is, so it's really easy to see what the word lucre means, talking about evil lucre trying to gain things that for themselves, for all their own selfish reasons, for money's sake, getting that money dishonestly. Verse 12, one of themselves, one of those in Crete, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars. That's a good commentary, is it not? Wouldn't you like to have people say the Hangsidians? Is that how you'd say it? I don't know. They're always liars. That wouldn't be a very good prophecy or commentary let's say Floridians, okay? If Floridians are always liars, if a Floridian wrote a prophecy or a poem about us, evil beasts. That's a nice, real nice thing to say right there. Slow bellies. Now, does that sound offensive to you? The longer you think about it, the more offensive it'll get. Okay? What's making these people slow? Their bellies are making them slow, okay? And not only are they lie all the time, and not only are they evil beasts, but they have an appetite of an evil beast, okay? And as a result, they got a belly that slows them down. Verse 13. This witness is true. That's what Paul says. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. That's an interesting statement, is it not? I don't have time to talk about it, but do you realize if you have an evil heart and evil intentions, you can take something that can be used for good and you can use it for bad? Okay? So we can have people today that tell us this gun is evil. No, the gun can actually be used for pure and good reasons. Like, say, someone that lives somewhere, say, in a very rural setting or in the woods or on a mountain somewhere, they can actually feed their family and maybe feed their neighbors by the good use of that gun. Okay? All right? Or maybe you could say, you know, for our soldier boys and for those that are protect themselves, and do you think we need protecting in the day and age we live in today? Do you think that's a pure reason? You can take a good heart and a pure heart and use that handgun, so to speak, to protect your family because they're dear and precious to you and you love those people, so you use it for pure and good reasons. So somebody else can take it that has a wicked heart and wicked intentions, and they can use it for terrible, terrible intentions, okay? That doesn't mean the gun's terrible. That means it revealed the heart of the person that was using it. You could say that about the computer. A computer can be used for good things. It can. But a computer can be used for wicked, terrible things also. So it reveals your heart. So unto the pure, all things are pure. So it actually, it reveals who you are. It's a revealer is what it is. It betrays who you are on the inside, no matter who you say you are on the outside. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They, speaking of this group he started talking about in verse number 10, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Being abominable. You see that word a lot in the Old Testament, don't you? Something's abomination. And disobedient. And unto every good work reprobate. So we have a lot that we could see there in verses 9 through 16, but let's tackle it tonight. Let's talk about this. Here's the title of the lesson tonight. Doesn't even look like there's anybody in the sound room, so I don't have to worry about it. But and that might go better if we don't have anybody in the sound room. Amen? Anyway, here's the title of our time together in the Word of God tonight, How to Grow Up Spiritually. How to Grow Up Spiritually. Remember what we said before? That Paul sends Titus and says, hey, I left you in Crete, and I left you in Crete for a reason. It's to go around and find in those assemblies of those saved people that we saw saved when we preached the gospel, and they started assembling themselves together, and we went to another place, and same thing happened, and same thing happened. Same, I had to leave and go back, but I left you there because you needed to take care of the things that were needed in those local assemblies, which included going around and ordaining spiritual leadership, elders and bishops in those local assemblies. So I told you what to look for. There's already spiritual leadership in those assemblies, and I told you to go and find those person, people, identify those people, and set those things in order in that those local assemblies. That's what I told you to do. And so we see here some qualities of spiritual leadership that Titus is going and looking for when he goes from city to city to city in that island of Crete. Now, there's some things he was not looking for. He wasn't looking for people that were soon angry or self-willed or given to wine, or they always struck back at somebody when they got struck yet, or not given to filthy lucre. He didn't want those people those were the things that identified and marked them, and those were the attributes that they possessed. But he wanted the things that were mentioned in verse number 8, lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. And then after they had walked that life, they had that testimony, they had that right spiritual leadership in the home and with others, their testimony testified of their spiritual leadership, then they were supposed to have a good preaching and teaching ministry in verse number 9. So you're always supposed to walk it before you get to talk it. That's how it's supposed to work. That is biblical Christianity, and that's a good thing for us to exercise today. Amen. Just like it was at those times back at Crete. So you're supposed to preach it after you've been participating in it. It doesn't go the other way around. So this doesn't just apply to people that would be in elders or bishops one day. This is for anybody that's a believer. You should possess these qualities of spiritual leadership. Doesn't even matter if you're a woman, which is impossible for you to be the husband of one wife. I understand that, but yet you can still possess these qualities of spiritual leadership. You weren't going to get ordained in Crete to be an elder or a bishop, but you still should have these qualities as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where we're at in verse number 9. And I see three things that will help you go from not being as mature spiritually as we should be to helping us mature spiritually like we should desire to be. And I see those things in verse number 9 of Titus chapter 1. But before I talk about that, look at verse 13. I'm going to go back and talk about three things in verse number 9. But before that, let's look at verse 13. It says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, all these problems that they have in verses 10 and 11 and 12. And the testimony of that prophet, one of their own, says that. So rebuke them sharply that they may be what? Sound in the faith. So what we need as believers to be sound in the faith. These false teachers were teaching and preaching falsely. And so what needed to happen? Somebody that was steeped in sound doctrine need to rebuke them so that those false teachers, would be sound in the faith. So being sound in the faith is what the key is here. Being sound in the faith, that's being spiritually healthy, I guess you could say that. If your health is sound, that means you're a healthy person. Your body is physically well. Condition is very sound. So I see three keys here in verse number 9. The first one, this is very easy, but I tell you what, if this is all we ever preached on, till Jesus comes back at his appearing and our gathering together unto him, that would be okay because we need it. Number one, the thing that's going to take us from being not as spiritual as we should be to maturing us in the faith, number one, is an intake of God's word. Take two of these testaments and call God in the morning, right? That's the way you ought to do it. You ought to intake. This is a prescription we have. It's an intake. We need both barrels, Old Testament and New Testament. We need it. We need a steady diet of God's word. We need to holding fast the faithful word. That's what it says, the first part of verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word, a steady diet of God's word. You know what? If we just ate one time a week, say if we had a big, I don't know, lunch buffet on, and I probably shouldn't talk too much about that because then you're going to start thinking about that and won't hear the rest of the message. But say I shouldn't even mention Fred's Market either. So I didn't mention it. I might get some amens though. I might get some Pentecostal fits. I don't know. But say you went to Fred's Market 12 o'clock. Thank you. There you go. 1 o'clock on Sundays. Fred's Market. Okay? And you ate and you, which is what you normally do when you go to Fred's Market, and you eat and you eat and you eat and you eat, you know, and that was your, that was when you got your nourishment physically, 1 o'clock every Sunday. What do you think would happen between 1 o'clock one Sunday and 1 o'clock the next Sunday? Some of you say, I'd get hungry. Yeah, you're going to get hungry, but you're not just going to get hungry. You're going to get weak. You're going to get faint. You're going to be very fragile. You're going to be very unhealthy. That's not, that would not be considered a healthy diet. Yet, how many believers, they have a Bible buffet one time a week on a Sunday, and then they wait till the next Sunday? If it would affect our physical health to treat, to schedule things like that, do you not think it would affect our spiritual health also? Do you not think we would get spiritually anemic? Would we not get faint? Would we not get weak? In fact, when temptation came, dangling something in front of our nose and getting our attention, would we not be susceptible to that if we were so weak that we hadn't eaten for days and days and hours and even a week before? Would it not be hard to walk that walk of faith and do what's right? Yet how many people, I was in church on Sunday, and whether they brought their Bible that day or not, they don't see it again till the next Sunday. And they're not really chewing their own food. Somebody's already chewed it for them. That doesn't sound very appetizing to me. Somebody else chewing your food. No, you need to chew your own food. You need to be in that book. Can you go that long without physically eating? Well, what makes us think we can go that long without spiritually eating? We need a steady intake of the Word of God. Holding fast the faithful word. That's what it's talking about. What about 1 Peter 2:2? That's a good verse for us to look at on this subject, is it not? Let me read it to you. It's a few pages to my right. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, Hebrews, James, Peter, John. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Yes, a babe needs milk. Yes, milk is different than meat. I understand that. Milk is very digestible. It doesn't have to be processed when a baby takes it in. But a baby doesn't eat just once a week. A baby's not going to be a healthy baby if it eats just once a week. It's got to take that milk. Why? So it'll grow thereby. Well, a baby Christian needs to take in that word. Why? So they'll grow thereby, and soon they should be cutting teeth, and soon they should be chewing their own food and digesting their own food and growing and getting stronger and stronger and stronger. That's how God wants us to do it. Steady intake of God's word. But there were those that were there on the island of Crete in Titus chapter 1. They were the gainsayers of verse 9, saying things for gain. That's what gainsayers mean. They were the unruly and vain talkers. They were deceivers. There were some Jews definitely participating in it, those of the circumcision. And their mouths had to be stopped. That's what verses 9 through 11 is talking about. What were these religious teachers teaching on this island? Were they teaching people about God? Well, supposedly it was religious teaching, I believe, yet it wasn't scriptural teaching. It's a difference between being religious and being scriptural. Amen? There's all kinds of religion that is not scriptural. So there's definitely a difference there. And here, you know, time out. I'm not saying this is the only place where you can find scriptural teaching, okay? I'm not saying that. There's any Bible-believing church has my recommendation on it. If they'll believe the book, if they'll preach the book, if they'll teach the book, then I'm all for what they're doing. But let's don't pretend there's lots of churches that don't have nothing to do with this book. And their services and the time they assemble together and their way of worship has nothing to do with this book. It's just a program, and you can get a program anywhere you go. The world has plenty of programs, plenty of things for us to participate in. So there's a difference between what God's doing and what the world's doing. And this book is the difference. That's what teaches us what God is doing, and it also shows us what the world's doing. There's a difference between the two. And so here are some unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, gainsayers, all this stuff. And they were not preaching God's word. They were not teaching it right. They were doing a lot of vain talking. That means there's no point, no purpose. God's purpose wasn't behind their talking. They were teaching things they ought not, is what it says in verse number 11. Teaching things they ought not. And so Paul revealed what they were teaching. Look at it in verse 14. Here's what they're teaching. See if you see any of it in 2012, okay? If this is antedated and outdated, antiquated and outdated and not current for us today, okay? Verse 14, here's what they were teaching. Jewish fables, number one, and commandments of men. By the way, if you rebuke somebody sharply and you make sure that they're sound in the faith, then they won't give heed to those Jewish fables and those commandments of men. But here's what they were doing. They were telling stories. Do you know that you can go to a lot of churches and they'll tell you stories based on human experience to try and help you cope with your human experience? A Jewish fable, and these were deep-rooted in the Jewish culture. You got the circumcision involved in verse number 10 we just saw. So they're telling stories. Now, a story is good. A Bible story is great. Even an illustration story is good. It helps drive a truth in the Word of God home. But if that's all you're getting is a big fable once upon a time, and that by the time you get to the end, they lived happily ever after, there's nothing to live your life on right there. There's nothing to stand upon. There's no truth to act upon and live by. And it was Jewish fables and what? Commandments of men. Oh, yeah, it was 27 ways you can better yourself. You know, 14 ways to be a better husband and 414 ways to be a better wife, something like that. 40 days of purpose. You know, all that kind of stuff is what it was. That's what it was. They prayed the prayer of Jabez there in Crete. Yeah, they did. Amen. They were in the latest religious fads. It was all about that. Hey, man, you can make some money if you get into the religious fads. Yeah, just coin you something. Just coin you something, put a little cross design on it, maybe, you know, maybe some biblical colors or something. I don't know what biblical colors are, but just do that. You can get rich. And that's what these fellows were doing. They were saying things for gain. Not for gain for heaven, but gain for their pocketbooks. And then you don't trust a man that carries a pocketbook. That's in the Greek, I guess, in the passage. I don't know. These false teachers were all about that filthy lucre's sake, verse 11. They had a racket going. You've seen rackets before. You've turned the TV on. You've turned the radio on. There's rackets going today, okay? Sure there is. People love to feel religious and hear stories. They, you know, scratch my religious itch. That's what people want. And they love the TV preacher, preacherette that'll do that for them. What does the Bible say about it? Well, these people were subverting whole houses. It reminds you of America today is what it does. Crete. Good old United States of Crete is what it sounds like. Let me read you a verse from 2 Timothy 4. It's a familiar one, and it's definitely, it's one page back, and it's definitely applicable to our Bible lesson this evening. 2 Timothy 4, look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, their own fleshly desires is the context, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. That means the teacher wants to hear what the people want, so the teacher gives the people what they want. They move to an area, and before they do their emerging church, they send out surveys in the area. That's what they did in Crete. Hey, we're going to say things that will help us gain, and the bigger the crowd, the more gain we'll have, and we're going to tell them stories. They're in Crete, they want to hear stories. Because, I mean, they don't like to get out and do anything. They're slow bellies, and they're evil beasts, and they're always liars. They want to hear stories. It doesn't matter if the story's true or not. They just want to hear stories. And so the surveys came back, and it said, this is how you can minister to this group here in Crete. And you know that's how people establish churches today? I mean, there's a whole movement about that. Verse 3 says, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Man, it's almost like the same Holy Spirit wrote both those books. But make sure, Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. There's a lot more to say, but Timothy, that's not what you're about. That's not your ministry. It's not about telling stories and trying to make the people feel comfortable in the pew, make them feel religious enough. What does my dad say? What do you say? A little cold air from the air conditioner, a little hot air from the pulpit, and just the right balance. Get it just right. Make them feel like they had a religious ceremony or experience that day. so they can go home fulfilled to live their wicked carnal life. That's what was happening in Crete. And it happens today, in March of 2012. There's nothing new under the sun. The more you study the scripture, the more you see it come around again and again and again. You know what? We're talking about growing spiritually and listening to made-up stories, true or untrue, is not going to help you grow spiritually. You know what will? A steady intake of God's word. Take two testaments and call me in the morning. That's what it is. That's what we need. You need to take a steady diet of the Holy Scripture. Second thing we see in verse number 9. First thing was holding fast the faithful word. Second thing says, as he hath been taught. You see that in verse number 9? As he hath been taught. So this man you're looking for that's going to be a bishop maybe in this particular city of Crete, he needs to make sure he's holding fast the faithful word, steady diet of God's word, and he's holding fast to what he's been taught. He has a very teachable spirit to learn the Holy Scripture. That's a mark of spiritual maturity, being able to be taught. Why were these men sound in the faith that Titus is looking for as he goes from place to place in Crete? Why? Because they've been taught God's word. That's very important. They've been taught God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14, he's talking about how bad it's going to be in verses 13 for Timothy. It's going to be evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and be deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So a spiritually mature person, or if you're not as spiritually mature as we should be, how do we get more spiritually mature? One of the ways is have a teachable spirit when it comes to the things of God. There's no one in this building. My dad's been pastoring for 41 years, and what a blessing that is. Yet, he cannot say, just like the Apostle Paul cannot say or could not say, that he is attained or apprehended. We can all be taught as we go forth in this life. We're in this physical realm, so we never reach sinless perfection. We never reach a point where we don't need to be taught anymore. There's always learning to do. In fact, the more you learn, the more you realize the more there is for you to learn. But you know that people can sit in church from week to week, from pew to pew, and never grow? That actually gets frustrating a little bit. When you're trying to teach and preach, and yet it either goes in one ear and out the other, or it never makes it in that first ear to begin with. It reminds you of Hebrews 5:12. That's only a few pages to our right. I was already over in Hebrews once, wasn't I? Hebrews 5:12. No, I was over in 1 Peter. Hebrews 5:12. Just looked at this in class the other day. The writer of Hebrews has to say here in verse 12, he says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now you need to be able to teach. You need to quit just sucking milk down and sucking that bottle, but you actually need to grow your teeth, and you need to actually chew and get some other protein and nourishment that's out there for you. And it's a shame that when you should be teaching, we've got to take time and teach you again. That's spiritually immature people was being addressed here in Hebrews chapter 5, and there sure is easy application for us today as we take it and apply it within our own hearts. Why did they have to be taught again? Look at verse 11. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He didn't say hard of hearing, and no hearing aids invented at that time, probably. It's not what he said. He said dull of hearing. So why did they have to be taught again? Because they were dull of hearing. They didn't listen when they had the opportunity to listen. They didn't learn when they had the opportunity to learn. So if you don't get it the first time and you don't learn it the first time, then most likely you're going to have to repeat that lesson and repeat that grade in school until you get it right, until you can pass. That's what he's speaking of here. And it says dull of hearing. That almost gives you that idea of it's not that you have a physical issue. It's not that you're not capable of hearing it and learning it, but it's almost like you're too lazy to do it. There's a dullness there. That's interesting. That's, well, I should say more than interesting. That's convicting when I look at that and apply that. But that's our mindset today, even amongst Christian people, is entertain me. Don't try and teach me something. What are you talking about that Bible all the time for? Somebody said the other day that a kid was saying that that's not the King James Bible, that's the Carter Bible. That some kids were saying that. I understand where that comes from because it's definitely emphasized from Pastor Carter and even Pastor Stephen Carter. There's an emphasis there. But I tell you what else is supposed to be emphasized? Can you fill me in? So I take that as a compliment. It's Carter Bible. We're not going to call it that, but we'll take that as a compliment. Well, it was kind of a revealer of the culture and the mindset there in Crete. And we see that mindset. We don't have to look very far, sometimes just in the mirror, to see that mindset today. You know that I read recently that, you know, there's people that do the research and the surveys and all that kind of stuff, like the Barna Research Group and the pollsters and all that jazz, that they, when they do their surveys and research, they say there's really no difference in the way that professing Christians live and then people that say they're not Christians live. When it comes to teenagers, they basically live this and get in trouble and participate in the same things that unsaved teenagers participate in. When it comes to homes, supposedly Christian homes participate in the same things that unchristian homes participate in. That's what it was in Crete. That's why Paul says, give them a steady diet of the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to fix it. That's the only thing that's going to help it. That's the only way they're going to get recuperated. That's the only way they're going to get fixed. That's the only way they're going to get healed. That's the only way that things are going to get better. That's the only way you can go from being spiritually immature to being spiritually mature like God wants us to be. Steady intake of God's Word, having a teachable spirit to learn God's Word. And then let's say lastly, verse number 9, back to Titus chapter 1, holding fast the faithful Word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able. I like that right there. Holding fast the faithful Word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able. When you have the Word of God, and you've learned the Word of God, then you're able to put into practice the things that God wants us to put in practice. Right there, that's good right there. That's a good sermon right there. That he may be able. Right there. Right there, that word. It enables us to be what God wants us to be. But we'd have no enabling if we don't spend time in this book right here. If we don't learn this book right here. If we don't have that right spirit, that submissive spirit, that humble spirit, like, I need to know more. I need to learn more. I need to be better than what I am, God. I want to mature. I want to be used of you. I want to be pleasing to you in all things, that he may be able. Oh, they were, you know, instead of meat and potatoes there in Crete, now they ate it physically, but spiritually speaking, they didn't have the meat and potatoes or vegetables or the fruits, but they was all about cotton candy, man. It was all about what was pretty and sweet. But see, the Word of God, you gotta get your chewing teeth out sometimes. You gotta get your sharper pair of dentures out sometimes. It's okay to read and study and meditate and think upon and study some more. It's good. It's okay. Because you know why? Because it's going to enable you to be what God wants you to be. There's a purpose and a reason behind studying and learning God's Word. Paul says in verse 9 that he may be able by sound doctrine. It's an enabler. Sound doctrine is an enabler. What's it going to do? It's going to shut up those false teachers and it's going to exhort those that are really wanting to learn the truth. That's what it's going to do. That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort. That's God's people right there. They need the encouragement. They need the exhortation. They need the encouragement in the Word. And they need to learn it. And they need to apply it and teach it to others also. But it's also going to convince the gainsayers. All those that are listed that we read you about in verses 10, 11, and so on and so forth. A daily use of God's Word, it makes you able. It's an intake of spiritual truth. And the reason you take it in is that you can learn it and apply it. And once you apply it, you'll see some of these good characteristics show up as evidence in your life. And then you can help other people to see those same good things happen in their life. Yeah. We are to help each other. We are to love one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to exhort one another. This is not just, I know there's bishops and elders mentioned in the passage, but it's more than that. It's all believers that need to be participating in this. Yeah, sound doctrine's going to make unsound doctrine have to go hide. You know, I'm nothing. I got so much to learn, and my dad has forgotten more than I probably ever will know. I understand those things. I'm not ignorant of those things, and not on some fantasy or pipe dream there. But yet, I'm not scared of anybody that comes around peddling false doctrine, unsound doctrine. I actually welcome it. I love it. I look for it. I'll drop that hat. Because I know what the Bible says. I'm very comfortable with what the Bible says. And they have no idea what the Bible says. They've just been taught the commandments of men. That's what they've been taught. And those men were wrong. Those men got it from the wrong place. So I'm so glad to stand up with the Holy Spirit of God and take on those seducing spirits that they're dealing with. I know who wins that battle every day of the week and twice on Sunday. It's not a problem. I don't need to tuck my tail. That doesn't mean I don't know that I know everything or that I wouldn't ever be stumped with a question that would come to me. But I'm not scared. And if I can have that approach, hopefully in the right attitude and right spirit, then any of us can have that approach. It's just a matter of allowing yourself to be taught, learning it, taking it in, and I need to take in more than I've been getting. I need more. And by the way, the more I take in, the more I realize I need more. And I'm talking about the spiritual food again, not the physical food. Amen. A daily use of God's Word is what's going to help you. I have a preacher that he's up in his 90s or something like that now. And did I grimace when I said 90s? That sounds painful, 90s, you know. And someone asked him how he learned the Word of God as good as he learned it. And he says, you know, I just read it. I studied it. And then I went out and preached it to somebody. They'd ask me questions. I'd come back with their questions. I'd read it, and I'd study it some more, find the answers, go back out, do it again. They'd ask me a different question. I'd come back to the Word of God, read it, study it, find the answer to that. If you do that over time, you're going to have a lot of answers to a lot of questions. But there's two parts to that. There's your part in the Word of God, then it's your part taking that Word of God to somebody else. Folks I know that know the book the best, that's really their experience and their testimony right there. Daily use of God's Word, holding fast the faithful Word as he hath been taught, that he may be able. Sound doctrine is spiritual truth from God's Word. You take what you've learned, you apply it to the details of your life. Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. If you apply the truth, godliness will be a result, a good consequence of applying the truth in your life. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. Let me read that to you real quick as I conclude. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So don't worry about those stories. Don't worry about what moves the majority of human emotion. Hey, we have more mega churches now than we've ever had, and we have a less holy population on this earth than we've ever had. Yeah. You ever thought about that? Are we bringing in the kingdom? Are we fixing things? I don't really include, even though this is a big church, I don't include it in the mega church mindset. That's about give the people what they want and they will come. If you build it, they will come. If you bring in the cappuccinos and the lattes and the frappes and everything else, and some of that's okay. It's too hot in Florida to drink those things, but some of that's okay. But yet the people will come, entertain them, but there's nothing there. It's like that 900 pound guy I told you about last year. Had to remove him from his house with a forklift. You've seen things like that before. Getting to such a bad condition where they can't move, can't walk. It's really hard to help somebody in that situation. And so they get the 900-pound guy to take down part of his wall, bring the forklift in, you know, forklift his bed out of his bedroom, take him to the ambulance, to the hospital. I'm trying not to make any jokes right now. and they diagnosed him with malnutrition. Exactly. 900 pounds, and yet he's starving to death. Why? Because you can't get fed on cheese puffs and Little Debbies. My follow-up comment is, Little Debbies make Big Debbies. Okay, thank you. Didn't say they went, didn't taste good. I never said that. Don't misquote me. Don't take me out of context. The Seventh-day Adventists make a good snack cake. They do. They do. Yeah, not the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, okay? Little Debbie's helps build hospitals and all kinds of stuff. Yet, that's not going to help you grow spiritually. Starve to death. Eating those things, there's nothing to it. There's no nutritional value. Can I show you something that's got nutritional value right here? So a steady diet, a teachable spirit, and a daily use of God's Word is going to help us go from our immaturity to our maturity in the faith. And that's what each and every one of us need. And we have the keys right here. And next time you read Titus chapter 1, verse number 9, remember those three keys of how to go from where you're at to where you need to be. The Word of God is the key. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet together tonight. We thank you for the time in your Word. We know how important it is, Father. Help us never get so used to it that it's not a big deal to us anymore and we don't see our daily need for it. Because, Father, I don't care who we are, we need it every day. Sometimes multiple, many times a day. So, Father, you've given us everything that we need in this book. So, Father, help us to remember that and be reminded of that even tonight. Father, I pray that you bless us, keep us as we go home. Help us to serve you like what would please you tomorrow, Father. Help us to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and his soon return. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name.